Okay, let's start from the premise that no one actually dies, right? I want you to operate from the premise that your body is just a vehicle and you are, in a sense, in your true form, a non-biological intelligence, right? In order for you to need an avatar, in order for you to need a body to operate in this world, you would have to be a non-biological intelligence. So what we call consciousness, what we think of as consciousness and the collective consciousness, these are words basically describing the same thing, a non-biological intelligence. Now, in the last episode of Your One Black Friend podcast, I talked about aliens being from other dimensions. And towards the end of the episode, I specifically discussed what we perceive of as God. And what I postulated was that could entities that present themselves as God and have presented themselves as gods throughout human history be a species, a different species, different from our collective consciousness, from a different dimension or occupying a different dimension, that essentially prey on humanity and on the human race, present themselves as gods, and then harvest souls to a different dimension once they die here, once they leave here, once your soul, your consciousness is done, quote, serving time in this reality? Could they operate by attaching themselves psychically to believers, first maybe presenting in dreams, right? Which, as we know, the dreams are a very fascinating middle ground. They seem sort of like a interdimensional space, for lack of better words. And when we have dreams, or when we hallucinate, or when people take like hallucinogens, for example, it all seems like the mind or your consciousness is shifting out of this dimension and into dimensions, or even into parallel worlds, if you're not prepared to think of as dimensions and at least think of them as parallel worlds. Could these beings first approach the human race, or have they, or could they have first approached the human race through the dream world, right? And then presented themselves as gods. And then that, once a person sort of wakes up and starts to speak to others about it, that's how the mind virus essentially spreads. And then a collective belief in these entities allows these entities to take form, to take shape in our reality. Imagine that we have a non-biological intelligence that present as gods, and their function is to harness and harvest energy, right? We have talked about, and we continuously talk about, that everything is energy, that we are energetic beings. But I don't think a lot of people sit and think of what that means, because anything that is energy has to be energy for something, right? Energy can't be created or destroyed, only modified. So something can essentially harness and harvest our consciousness. And could these gods, through the premise of belief, be hijacking our collective consciousness, at least to the ones who subscribe to the idea of gods, or the ones who believe in particular gods as they present? Could they be harvesting and harnessing souls for the afterlife to be energy to them in a different dimension once they leave this world, this reality? It sounds completely mad, but what if it's not? If there is some sort of truth, even a speck of truth, this might be worth listening to. I wanted to call this episode "I Don't Want to Go to Your Heaven." And what the reason why is because I do think that anything that can be conceptualized or imagined can and does exist somewhere, right? Like, if you think about it, like dreams, when we dream, aren't, I don't think we're just creating things out of thin air. Case in point, I had the weirdest dream last night where I was in this reality where people had pets, and their pets had been genetically modified to grow fruit on their body. And they were free-range pets. They were well trained. It was part of their culture, part of their society. And you would have like dogs running around, but instead of fruit, they would have things like eggplant on their body, or grapes, or like blueberries. And I remember sitting in a cafe having a conversation with this lady, and I said, "Don't you find that strange?" So I was still myself in this reality because I was semi-lucid in the dream, but I found the whole thing a bit odd. And I said, "Why would you guys genetically modify animals to do things that they don't naturally do?" And they said, "Well, we have a mastery of DNA, and so we can essentially do anything we want, but this takes care of the hunger problem." And instead of human beings walking up to trees and grabbing fruit, if you have animals, as you go to pet them, they're also carrying fruit. they can also, as they flourish or run around, as the fruits drop from their bodies, they can also plant seeds and plant trees. Now, I have never in my waking life even conceptualized something like that, right? Where you could say that my dream is just a reflection of something that I experienced in my waking life. That is not accurate. That is not, I've never had that thought at all. I mean, you could say that my mind generated that, but based on what? Please tell me, have you ever heard of such a concept? It's so far-fetched and so insane that I can't even say, oh, I was watching something having to do with fruit and pets, and somehow my brain meshed that up. And even in the dream, I remember talking to the lady in the dream and saying, like, this is insane. Like, what if I grew fruit from my body? Would you eat fruit from me? And the lady was like, no, that would be disgusting. And so she didn't connect that that was weird, because culturally it was normal for animals to grow fruit. But the idea of humans sort of being treated in the same way was odd to her. But the point of me telling you that weird dream is that that's not something that I consciously generated. I don't even think I unconsciously generated that. And considering the fact that there was part of me that was lucid in the dream, I suspect that I, my consciousness, in my true non-biological form, may have traveled to another dimension where this was real, or as real as something like that can be, as real as a dream can be. Now, two videos prior to this one, I did posit the idea that what if we are the thought forms? What if we are the tulpas that are existing in the mind of somebody else? And that lucid dreaming is us sort of hijacking their world and their lives. And then the counter to that is that what we think of as the internal monologue might be them attempting to affect change in this dream world. Once again, if you haven't had a chance to check those videos, please do. We talk about really fun stuff here. But to go back to the idea of heaven and there being more than one heaven, I think that as some believers, what in whatever religion, they believe that their religion is the right true religion. They believe that their God is the right true God, and then there's only one heaven and there's only one hell. But what if there's more than one? Because if you get a collective of human beings who have the ability, we know that the mind is a powerful thing. So a collective of human beings has the ability to make mind into matter, to materialize things, right? It's there, existing. If it can be conceptualized, then it is there somewhere, right? I think Robert Anton Wilson talked about this, that anything that can be imagined in his book, Cosmic Triggers, exists somewhere. Even if it's in a realm of probability, it does exist. Quantum physicists have talked about this as well, right? That everything exists simultaneously as a probability, and we're just collapsing wave functions. So that's something that is worth noting. So then if you have whole groups of people for thousands and thousands of years who have believed in a concept of a God and who have believed in a concept of heaven, then you cannot discount the fact that their gods, their heavens might exist. And the way you get to or get the keys to that heaven is by what you believe, right? So there are people who've had, like, after, let's say, near-death experiences where after they've returned, they have said, like, I saw, you know, God and the angels, and were meant to take from that, that somehow that was the afterlife. But then you have people from other religions who have different experiences of the afterlife that fall in tune with what they believe in. That leads me to believe that there's got to be more than one afterlife. Not only that, that it's not an afterlife in the sense of just this final place. It's just another realm. If you perceive this reality, this world, as a realm, then it wouldn't be far-fetched to think that there are other realms that you can exist in after your experience here has expired. Like, I don't think that that's far-fetched. It would take a bit more of an open-minded approach to how we perceive reality and how we understand this world specifically. But if you can dream of different worlds, then I think that you can also exist in different worlds, particularly once you're done here. I had a couple comments a few videos ago of people saying that when they lucid dream, they also return back to the same world time and time again every night. I've also mentioned in the past episode of the podcast where people who have, like, experiences with DMT seem to be reporting back to the same world. Albert Einstein said that reality is an illusion, it's a dream, albeit a persistent one. But if you have persistent dreams, then couldn't that be another type of reality? keep in mind, if you believe in a particular type of heaven, and if what the author talked about in the book, your unseen body, I think the invisible body in the quantum realm, if what he talked about is accurate, and that there are regional heavens, I don't know if they are literally above, like, let's say the United States is like an American heaven. I don't know if I'm prepared to say that, because then once again, like, if you pass away, if you're an American and you pass away in like China or something like that, then do you go to a Chinese heaven? Like, why the limitation? That doesn't make sense to me. But I do like his thinking, like I said. But if there are people who believe exactly as you believe, then they could be, as they are living, sort of tuning their psyche so that once they pass on from this world, that's exactly where they're going. And if part of what you believe is that for all eternity, you are going to wake up and just pray to a non-biological being, eternity is a very long time. Prayer is something that is energetic. It's an expulsion of energy, right? And you're giving that energy to something. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. Are you essentially signing yourself up for eternity of something that you may not want to do? To a being, which, go back and read the Bible, particularly Old Testament, and read how he is defined and the things that he pushes, that he teaches to his, like, do you want to exist in that reality, in that dimension upon leaving this world, and all of the rules and all of the laws? That is something that people don't think about. Not only that, if this belief, a collective belief in this book, and you think of the book as a key, will take people from all throughout time that have believed that, then that means that heaven would be, or I should say the Christian heaven would be populated by anybody from on one end. If you're just like a casual believer, but you've done the prayer and you believe that that's where you're going to go, but you're still like an open-minded person and you subscribe to the idea of, okay, like love, but you believe that, you know, ultimately, that you're still going to the Christian heaven. That's your key there. But then on the opposite extreme, the people who believe in the extremities and throughout history, throughout space-time, that have, you know, that contributed to the witch trials, that like killed people, that enslaved people, that also believe this, they too will be going to this heaven, this dimension that would be called the Christian heaven. Is that where you want to go? I talked to a friend of mine about this, and we were talking about even like the Islamic idea of heaven, and the I think they said that if you do something in a holy war, you get 76 virgins for all eternity. These are young maidens. And so my thought is, yes, that could very well be true. But gosh, is that what you want to spend all of eternity with? Like, maybe read the fine print. Do you want to spend all of eternity with 16-year-old girls, 76, or let's say it's 100. I think it was 100. 100 16-year-old girls as a grown man for all eternity. Eternity is a very long time. Now, if it never crosses your mind that there could be other worlds, other dimensions outside of that reality, if you find yourself in that reality, then you will be there for all eternity. But to seg it back to the idea of reincarnation, I've seen a lot of helpful videos out there where people talk about, you know, should you find yourself at a end of life recall and you're shown your life and you're told to go back, go in the opposite direction, don't go towards the light because reincarnation is a trap. And you just end up kind of getting stuck in this cycle, in this reality, in this world over and over again. So that's very helpful. And I think more and more people should be talking about that. But I also think that you can build up to that with this idea that we are living in a multidimensional reality world, multiverse. I don't know what we want to call it, but existence itself is multidimensional. There are infinite realms, infinite realities, or at least as close to infinite as the mind in its present state can conceptualize. So if you're not thinking, or you're not opening your mind to the possibility of that, okay, you have access to all of these things, you're essentially limiting yourself to just one experience. And so knowing that anything is probable and that all realities exist simultaneously as probabilities awaiting your consciousness to explore or awaiting collapse by your consciousness It's something worth thinking about, at the very least, even if it's just food for thought. So to wrap it up, could there be non-biological intelligence from other dimensions that are throughout history, at least humanity's history, harnessing souls, the consciousness, the minds, whatever word you want to call it? Could there be non-physical, non-corporeal intelligence that come to this world and that's kind of what they do? There's a great book I'm reading now, Dimensions by Jacques Vallée, and he talks about how, like, throughout human history, at least recorded history, there have been entities that sort of repeatedly show up. He ties in UFOs to fairies, gnomes, dwarves, fays, and all these other sort of non-physical beings, or at least they present as non-physical to us. He ties them all up together. And I'm kind of piggybacking off of that. But where I want to go with this, and I'm actually going to expand upon this a bit more on a short story that I should have on my Gumroad, I think by the end of this weekend. It's going to be a fun read. If you're interested, check it out. But I'm going to write a story where I talk about where the DNA comes from, who we are, how we got here, and what this world is, and the intelligence behind this world. And I'm going to talk about non-physical entities and what that could be, and non-biological intelligence that present as gods. It's going to be kind of a really interesting write-up, so definitely worth checking out. But gods, in the scriptures, when you read, they don't behave like benevolent beings. The things that they ask people to do, the sacrifices that they require, the chaos that they create, they don't strike me as the true creators of this entire existence. And if you are a non-biological intelligence yourself, existing in a physical form, then I would say that there is something that separates you from them, but there's still parallels. So why do you owe any sort of reverence to any non-physical being? You yourself are a non-physical being, but you have something physical. You're just existing in this dimension. I keep repeating because it's a new concept, but it's something that I think is worth thinking about. If you are in the spiritual realm and you're opening up yourself to things who present as gods or present as angels, ask yourself, why are these things deserving of your attention, your energy, your praise, when you yourself are a non-physical being existing presently, temporarily in physical form? And any information that they have access to, you have access to as well, because you are, outside of form, a multidimensional being yourself. You're just choosing to exist in 3D at the present moment. So should or do any of these things really need to be worshipped? Are they deserving of your worship? And even when you see or you talk about UFO presentations, there's a lot of fear around these things. But the only thing that they seem to have above the human race is that because they're non-physical, they aren't bound to the same laws of physics that we are while we exist in this form. They also have access to knowledge that we don't have while restricted by the brain. Remember, the brain performs a limiting function on awareness and consciousness. But to bring it all full circle, it is imperative to be mindful of what beliefs you allow to crystallize in your mind and that you take outside of this world with you when it's time for you to pass on. Because if you believe in reincarnation, then you might find yourself back here. If you believe that it's a trap, then you might find yourself back here. If you believe that you can leave and that there is a way to exit it, then absolutely work on that. If there is a trap of reincarnation, a reincarnation cycle that you're hearing more and more people talk about, I think it's worth asking yourself, okay, why is that happening? Is ignorance being exploited? Is a lack of awareness while we're existing in this form also being exploited? Is there a reason why we fear and venerate non-physical entities, even though simultaneously we hold this concept of existence past death, right? Like there are people who have near-death experience, out-of-body experiences, all of that. And they know on some level that they're not physical, but yet they're still moved by spiritual beings who speak to them and ask for them to be worshipped, right? There are people who open themselves up to these things. These are just all concepts that I think are worth exploring, but ultimately, at least for this shorter video mini podcast, I wanted you to think about eternity and what that looks like based on what your present beliefs are. Are there more than one heaven? If you think of heaven as just another dimension or even another universe, absolutely. Are there non-physical beings that are present in this reality? I believe so. I mean, you hear people talk about shadow selves and you hear people talk about UFOs and have encounters with ghosts and spirits. You can say that they're all crazy or that they're speaking to something happening. I'm not prepared to dismiss them all as crazy. There's been a lot of credible evidence of people perceiving things beyond physical form. Not to mention, once again, dark matter is imperceptible while a soul or consciousness exists in this vehicle. This vehicle, the human body, is not capable of perceiving dark matter. So even if we live in a society where people are encouraged to completely discount anything that is not material, matter, material being an operative word, if scientists, physicists are aware that there is dark matter that we cannot perceive, then there is a contradiction there within itself. You can't tell me to discount things that I cannot see while also saying that, yes, dark matter exists and it's not necessarily invisible, it's just imperceptible to us. Something absolutely to think about. All right, thanks for watching.